Hello, today is May 13th, and we're here with government and security, which is probably the most depressing selection of stories we could do for you guys, but, you know, it can't all be happiness.
It's midweek. Quarantine. It's hump day. You get the depression in the middle of the week.
And then feel better on Friday.
This is, we covered this one before, but that was in the guise of the FCC press release, and the FCC said, yeah, the military told us not to do this, but it's fine because we've done, you know, all these other things to protect it, and that's going to make it completely okay. And then the military responded with basically the opposite.
The U.S. military is furious at the FCC over 5G plan that could interfere with GPS. They've got a dramatic photo. It's like, what? What are you doing? And Ajit Pai's response to this was, relax, bro. We're still going to use the spectrum, but we've lowered the power requirements to just 1% of what it was previously. And the military's like, not good enough. It's going to cause problems.
And they're going to give the buffer zone. Now, the representative for the military pointed out, yeah, you're using lower power from Earth. Our signals have to come from space. It balances out. This is bad. And Ajit Pai's spokesperson said, nah, don't worry about it.
Do you have any idea how much money Ajit Pai got paid to ignore this? Come on.
So that's still in the... although I think, didn't the FCC already won an appeal or rejected the appeal or something or other? So it seems like it's going to go forward.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, those signals from space might not just be coming to the Earth pretty soon, because we might be acquiring a brand new celestial body to exploit and destroy with our ever-increasing appetite.
Reuters reports that the Trump administration is drafting the Artemis Accords, a pact for moon mining. The Trump administration is drafting a legal blueprint for mining the moon. So, yeah, let companies mine the moon. Isn't helium-3 that's a power source?
What a subdued image of the moon. Is that really the best I could do?
I think it's a video.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, it's playing over there. So here's a good image of it. Look at it. It's the blood moon.
They just need to go ahead and found New Tycho City on the moon, so that would be a thing.
So
the impression that, like, you can't mine on the moon. Like, that was the original agreement when the space race started.
Well, so that is a national agreement, right? So, like, America is not supposed to be able to just stake off ground on the moon and be like, this is ours. We do this. So what Trump is proposing is that private companies, not necessarily national interests, although NASA is going to be part of this, can mine the moon or create moon bases or whatever, and they don't really claim the land, but they get a buffer zone where nobody else is allowed to be. In essence, claiming the land.
Yeah.
I look forward to going to visit New Bezos one day.
And when you're on New Bezos, you don't want to worry about those moon raiders. So it's good that we have the Artemis Pact so that we can gun them down as soon as they break the
Space Force.
The
barrier. We'll do that for them.
Which is good, because it'll be all those people who, you know, like the moon orphans who don't have the vaccine tattoo to get back to Earth. Now, you don't want to worry about them. They're a terrifying bunch. And speaking of the vaccine tattoo, Bill Gates is in the spotlight. He has become sort of our vanguard for the how to deal with the virus. And he seems to be loving it. He seems to really be loving playing this role. And now he becomes even more powerful in New York.
Andrew Cuomo is leaning on tech billionaires to help New York rebuild. Eric Schmidt and Bill Gates are being asked to reimagine New York, but not everybody loves that. Did you listen to the thing with Cuomo talking about this? It seemed to me like what he was doing was basically throwing his hands up in the air and saying, look, New York City, we've got a 50% tax rate, and we still don't have enough money. I don't know where all the money goes. I don't, you know, the city's going to fall apart. We need better subway, and we need better infrastructure, and we need better blah, blah, blah. But he's like, we literally don't have any money, and we're collecting an insane tax rate, and I just don't know what to do.
Well, in this case, he's specifically talking about education. But here's the thing. Bill Gates and Eric Schmidt are not average people when it comes to education.
No.
Most people, when faced with, like Bill Gates, he was a famous dropout. Educated himself. That is a rare thing. Most people can't or won't do that. So how can he relate to the inner city New York kid who's dealing crack? How can he come up with a plan to somehow pull that person back into the fold when he has no understanding of common people education?
It seems like he would run a program to find the most gifted students and then just separate them from everybody else and let everybody else fend for themselves.
Or the richest families, which is kind of what this looks like. It's like this is this oligarchy in its rawest, most obvious form. It's like, oh, there was a crisis? Well, let's just bring in the billionaires.
That's kind of what I'm... that sort of abdication of responsibility sort of worries me a little bit with Cuomo, because he's like, you know... It's almost like he's saying, it's like, I'm a smart guy, but I can't figure this out, and it's going to collapse whether I do anything or not. So, here, somebody that's smarter than me, tell me what to do. And it's like, this is probably going to end badly.
Yeah, it's going to end with vaccine tattoos.
I mean, idea of asking someone smarter than you is not necessarily a bad one, but it's like, these people don't have any real education in educating people.
When you refuse the vaccine and go on the run... The giant mosquitoes are going to track you and bring you in. Across the pond, the NHS took the opposite approach for the tracking. So there's the centralized versus the decentralized. They went centralized and they said, hey, we figured out how to beat Apple's Bluetooth restrictions, and now we're going to share it with the world. But there's another side of this.
NHS reveals the source code behind the contact tracing app. So you can look at the source code for this. But I thought that they were abandoning this to use the Google Apple style thing.
Oh, interesting that you would say that. But before we cover that, so it turns out the source code has not been broken down yet. But it seems like from other stories, the way they got around the Bluetooth thing was that whenever you did anything, that app foregrounds itself and listens to everything that you do. It's trying to get an event to re-engage the Bluetooth, and it just roasts the battery. So, maybe because of that, we get this completely opposite headline.
The UK is reportedly now building a second contact tracing app to work within Google and Apple's framework. So, this one is the non-centralized one, which is really the only option.
So, it's kind of like they said, you know what, we can do this without you, and then obstinately did it without them. But
it doesn't work
at the cost of basically destroying the device over time. And then they're like, this isn't going to work. Let's maybe go back.
Yeah, I feel like as soon as they release the first app, that Apple would be like, oh, this is bad behavior. We're going to patch that so that doesn't work anymore.
And the other thing is, one of Apple and Google's rules is that only one app per country gets the API, because they don't want separation and segmentation. But now they've already violated it.
Yeah.
So
the other app is DOA, in other words.
It's terrifying. On one hand, you have the inept government doing it wrong. But on the other hand, you have the giant tech companies basically taking over power.
Yeah. It's like, oh, if you're going to do this, you're going to do it our way. It's like, but we want to do it this way. No.
Yeah, but they do want to use your hardware, your world, to distribute it. So it's hard to... The lesser evil is hard to identify in this situation.
I'm still using Windows Phone. Good luck.
Go ahead and die. Comcast and the other ISP companies are in a bit of a pickle here, because all those things they've told us over the years about what will happen if we're allowed to just freely use as much internet as we want, despite all the other countries in the world doing that and it being fine, are now being tested because they have to open it up for the crisis, and Comcast continues to resist.
Comcast resists calls to open home Wi-Fi hotspots and cites potential congestion. Oh, if we just let anybody get on your home Wi-Fi, no. These are, of course, the home Wi-Fi hotspots that they're not the ones that the homeowners control. Those same modems offer Wi-Fi hotspots that are accessible far outside your home. And, you know, if you have their subscription service or whatever, you can access it. But this might give somebody internet access that doesn't already have internet access that lives around your home. So, of course, we can't allow that.
Now, that is still the homeowner's modem, though. It's just not the same service. It's like a second service. Now, a lot of people said, I don't want that turned on because that's going to interfere with my download speeds. And Comcast was like, that doesn't happen. It doesn't work like that. And yet now, yeah, they're kind of arguing that it works like that.
Yeah.
Every website you go to, and amazingly, one of those sites is TechCrunch. Has a little thing at the bottom. It's like, hey, do you agree to the cookies? And if you say no, sometimes it'll take you away from that page to the homepage. And it's like, oh, that's a GDPR violation. Well, they've clarified.
No cookie consent walls, and no, scrolling isn't consent, says EU data protection body. So, yeah, if you have a cookie pop up and it's like, no, I don't accept this, you can't do that. Like, you can't, it has to still work if you don't accept the cookies.
The worst ones are the ones where you click manage, which is basically saying no, and they make you click each checkbox individually. And there's a billion cookies on that site. Disgusting.
I usually just leave as soon as a pop-up comes up on a site. I'm like, nope, not interested.
So that's illegal now, and you simply cannot do it. So if you're in the EU and you see that, you can rat them out immediately and have a smug satisfaction for the rest of the day. Do you remember that place in Toronto that was going to be the city of the future, where everything was beautiful and it was basically you just gave up all of your income and became an employee of Google?
We reported on that. It was Sidewalk Labs. Remember Sidewalk Labs?
And you were going to get cryptocurrency, and everything you did was going to be tracked, and there were no sad thoughts in Sidewalk Labs world. You would be exterminated immediately if you had... Well, unfortunately, they are the latest victim of the crisis.
Sidewalk Labs has canceled plans to build a high-tech neighborhood in Toronto amid the thing. It couldn't possibly have anything to do with the unpopularity of what they were planning to do once people found out what they were planning to do.
How will Toronto recover their property values? Oh, no.
That was one of the big arguments. It was like, hey, we're desperate for housing here, and you're just going to stake off a huge, desirable area of real estate and give it to Google? Come on, really?
Yeah.
And plus, the government had not given them full permission to do everything yet. There was a lot of people fighting it.
It's also meddlers. It's like, was it Firefly? Firefly was like, people just don't like people meddling in other people's things. That's basically what it comes
to. Government in general.
Yeah.
So they say that they're going to start over with a new plan, but they won't lose any progress because they learned a lot of important lessons, like what to avoid next time they do this so that they can work around all these naysayers. This one was very interesting. So I've only recently learned about this American Auditors, I think is what they call themselves. It's a group of people who film police, which is, it seems like a good thing on the face of it, but then they take it a step further by just viciously harassing the police while they're doing it, which is totally legal, except in this country, the cops can arrest you at any time for anything.
For any reason.
So this happened.
Boston video vigilante arrested for recording MGH ramp during the thing. I read the thing, and it seemed like the guy was just a terrible person, but there was a civil rights attorney that looked at this and was like, the judge is going to have to throw this out. They did arrest the guy, and he's in jail. I don't think he's out on bond or anything.
So, I can't remember what they charged him with.
Trespassing and making threats and just all kinds of stuff.
So, this group, Auditing America, they do pride themselves in... They're kind of like the... Westboro Baptist Church of filming police.
Yeah.
Like, they want to get in their face. They want to make them uncomfortable. What he was doing was legal. He was filming an emergency room ramp. And the cops came over and they're like, hey, this is disrespectful. Can you please stop? And instead of saying, no, this is my right to do this, they supposedly just let him have it with, you know, a tirade of curses and insults and stuff like that. That repeated itself a number of times, and the cops finally just arrested them on these false charges. So, yeah, I think you're right. Although, I'm worried what will happen is in one place, I can't remember where it was, they changed the law because of these guys. Because they're like, no one should have to suffer that dehumanizing behavior.
Yeah, but does that mean that the hospital also has to remove all their surveillance cameras? Because I guarantee you there's another million cameras scattered all around there.
That guy made the point. He was like, there are at least 20 other cameras filming this exact same scene. I'm only one of those. So it'll be interesting. Unfortunately, I think that case will just end with less freedoms. But do you stop fighting for your freedom because it'll ultimately end in less freedom? Isn't that just the chilling effect?
What if you can film it without being observed? Because, you know, if it's a public space, or if it's something that can be observed from a public space, then...
Oh, no, you don't have any right to privacy when you're in public. That's been proved. I think the Supreme Court's ruled on that.
Yeah.
So, should be shut, cut and dry, but, again, I don't think it will be. WeChat is the popular Chinese version of WhatsApp, kind of. And it is known for not only being used in a massive number of users in the world, but also being very heavily locked down. And, you know, certain things on WeChat, the funny thing about the way they do it is it simply just never happens. In real time, it is censored, and it just never gets sent. It will show on your end like it's being sent, but it doesn't actually
on the other end, it says, "Dear Leader is amazing."
Yeah. So the big question is, how do they figure out so quickly what to censor? Because, you know, we have all these stories about how the Chinese, they're very inventive. They use the emojis, and they make up, like, you know, substitution names and stuff like that, like we do for the name of the thing that we can't say. And now we have the answer of how they do that. It's amazing.
WeChat surveils international accounts to decide what to censor for Chinese users, the study says. That makes sense. So it occurred to somebody that's like, we need to look at literally everything in order to decide what we don't want for Chinese users. So Chinese users do have a different experience in terms of censorship, but somehow that doesn't make it better.
So activists are saying, please don't use WeChat if you're not in China, because you're basically training an AI against us, which is a terrible dystopian reality. So I don't know what the alternative is there, but especially if you have family in China. I guess the alternative is to not say anything controversial, but then they've still won.
The alternative is to apply to the State Department and see if you can get visas for your entire family.
Isn't immigration still locked down?
Yeah.
Microsoft bought GitHub, and everybody said that was a really bad thing to happen, and perhaps they're a little bit vindicated with this headline.
Microsoft's GitHub account has been hacked and private repository stolen. At least that's the rumor. A hacker claims to have stolen over 500 gigabytes of data from Microsoft's private GitHub repositories.
Microsoft confirmed it at the end.
Oh, wow.
It was updated.
That's nice.
Yeah. It was weird. I think it was maybe a Chinese developer, and some of the stuff was in Chinese, and they were like, this is suspicious. But no, Microsoft said that was a real thing. And it's none of the big products were represented there. I can't remember which one it was. One of their products was in there. I can't remember which one. But they're worried about maybe keys.
In that.
Well, that's going to end badly.
So that sucks for those people. We have to work on that.
That's going
to
suck for most of the developed world that are using those programs.
Yeah. A couple of big leaks this week. This one actually had already happened, but we're finding out more details about it. And this was one of those leaks where not only is the number big, but the list of information they got was pretty bad.
Details of 44 million Pakistani mobile users leaked online as part of and it's part of a bigger 115 million user cache of information. There's not a lot of details, but it does include a whole bunch of information: names, home address, national identification number, mobile phone number, landline number, dates of subscription. Criminals are going to have a field day with this.
It's a lot of information about a lot of people. So, I think there's still... this is a screenshot. Somebody's selling it. It's leaked. You don't have to pay for it. And they did this... Who was it? ZDNet contacted some of the people and confirmed they were real. So
this story just reiterates that people with anime avatars can't be trusted.
Do we need more proof of that?
Yeah. Just add this to the evidence pile.
And a smaller breach, but perhaps more embarrassing, in terms of the Pakistan one, that was just people who had mobile phone accounts. So, hey, if you're part of that breach, you're just unlucky. But if you're part of this breach, you're embarrassed.
Hack brief: an adult cam site exposed 10.88 billion records. Cam4 server has been taken offline, but not before it leaked 7 terabytes of user data. So the thing that wasn't clear to me was, is this like a adult-to-adult cam site thing? And if so, why is the site keeping copies of the videos?
You know.
No, no. I think this is one too many.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Although it's probably the case where it's not like they don't have a roster of girls, but rather they have, you know, you as a user could do both sides of it.
Mm.
I don't know if that's true, but
scary.
Yeah. So it wasn't a hack. It was an Elasticsearch with no password. God. You would think at this point Elasticsearch would have a blinking screen on the install. It's like, are you crazy? Please, please put a password on this. But no, happens every week. So if you use that site with your credit card or whatever, you need to be worried. I think it was free. I think maybe you could pay for extra services, but even if you didn't use your credit card, you could be affected. Password hashes, but not raw passwords, at least that.
6.6 million users in the U.S., 5.4 million in Brazil, and like 4 million in Italy.
That's a weird three countries to put together on a site. So the web skimming, where they replace the credit card form with their own form and steal your credit card, is one of the most popular things. And it's kind of common, so it's one of those things where it's fairly easy to get around or detect, but they just keep getting smarter with ways to do this, and this one is incredible.
Hackers hide web skimmers behind a website's favorite icon, like favicon.
You know, I've always... Favicon or favicon?
I think it's favicon.
But fave would be favorite,
yeah.
Right?
And icon, yeah. It doesn't make sense, but I've always heard it pronounced as favicon.
Well, there's the engagement challenge, right? Which one do you say?
I heard that they had Super Favicons in Japan that had lots of video games and stuff. Anyway.
Is that a Super Famicom?
Famicom, yeah.
Wow. Not only is it...
That's why you sub, Jack!
Not only is it a terrible pun, but horribly dated as well.
So, yeah. The skimmer was really cool. If you inspected it, it would totally be the favicon. But if you were on the credit card checkout form, it would be replaced with malicious JavaScript. So it knew.
But they had to have some JavaScript to detect which page you were on.
Yeah.
But so, and they created a whole fake favicon website, which, who pulls their favicon from an external?
marketing companies.
Wouldn't that be a red flag? But they had a website that was completely dedicated to, you know, like actually serving favicon. So you could go and you could actually use it, but if it detected a shopping cart on your site, bad news.
I like how Magento's turned into garbage since Adobe bought them. I've been vindicated.
So watch out for that. I guess inspect the icon on every checkout page that you visit.
Every web technology Adobe touches turns to garbage.
Make sure it's being served locally. Xiaomi? Is that how you got the millions Xiaomi. Of corrections?
Yeah, I don't
what,
know.
Krista said?
Xiaomi, I think.
Xiaomi. Or,
like, not like a J. I'm not doing it right. It's like SH, but there's kind of like a J sound.
Xiaomi, I think.
But like, yeah, I'm still not saying it right. I don't have the accent for it.
Anyway.
Hillbilly Chinese when we try to say it.
We were correcting on the pronunciation because last week we did the story about their data collection, and they have responded.
Xiaomi has released a browser update amid accusations that it collects private browsing data. Xiaomi software update lets you turn off data collection. But was it collecting private data before, and what exactly were they collecting? Because it looked like everything, and they didn't really clarify. They're just like, all right, we'll let you turn it off.
But only on private browsing, right?
Yeah.
So they're kind of admitting that they're still doing this.
Yeah.
And not only were they doing it, they're going to continue to do it unless you turn on private browsing.
Doesn't give me the warm and fuzzies.
No. Doesn't make me want to buy one of their... Although, let's be honest. Do we feel good about the other companies?
No. Who else besides Google is getting all of my data?
Yeah, exactly. I like how we do kind of freak out when it's one of those Asian companies, but Google is doing the same thing. And speaking of Google, their tracking API has become the de facto standard. The NHS tried to buck them, and they were like, yeah, good luck with that. We control the ecosystem. What are you going to do? And ultimately, it seems like they're going to, you know, capitulate. What can you do? And they're now making more rules. They're altering the deal further, it would seem.
Apple and Google both are banning the use of location tracking in contact tracing apps. Basically, they've said that this is an unnecessary invasion of privacy. We are not going to allow it because their contact tracing app doesn't actually involve location. It's just beacons that have been encountered via Bluetooth. So it's not where you've been. It's just what you've encountered.
I'm kind of looking forward to the story when we find out that they actually were tracking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because this is some good... I mean, on the surface of it, if what they're saying is true, they really are doing everybody a service because, number one, they're stopping the governments from doing the overly invasive stuff, and they've promised to destroy all the data when they're done. But it seems unlikely.
It's also
what we know.
Wasn't it also true that, you know, Apple was like, you know, we can't let, you know, we must protect Chinese users, blah, blah, blah. And then they were like, you know what, we'll just ban all VPN apps from the App Store.
Yeah, so, they...
a little mixed message there, Apple.
Well, Google did the same thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when China like was just like, okay, we just leave. We don't need you. And they were like, oh, we didn't mean that. What we meant was, we'll do whatever you say. We get a lot of these stories, and it's kind of always the same story, but it's always interesting how these researchers find new ways to attack air-gapped systems. And the list is massive. I think my favorite was the hard drive clicks. That was a fun one. This is more along that line.
Academics turn PC power units into speakers to leak secrets from air-gapped systems. You know, like coil wine, this is actually, is quote-unquote singing capacitors, what they call it. But if the... You write a program that varies how much power the computer uses over a short period of time, you'll get a little bit of coil wine, or you'll get a little bit of a singing capacitor thing. You can modulate that to actually send information outside of the computer.
It wasn't much. It was better than the screen brightness one. This was, I think, 10 bits per second if you were close, but as low as 1 bit per second the further away you got, which 1 bit per second would be the minimum. But, yeah, pretty cool. You could get, as they point out, you could get a key pretty rapidly at that pace. Just have to get a phone with a microphone close enough.
You could do a buffer. It's like you're doing a key logger. He's like, you know, the person using the computer is really outpacing it. And then they go to lunch and it catches up a little bit. And then they go home for the day and it catches up overnight.
So it was actually 40 bits per second and 10 bits at 1 meter. Not bad. This is also just research. Nobody, as far as we know, has ever done this.
Yeah, purely theoretical.
Our final story is, I love stuff like this because we've talked about this a lot. You can't really hide your activity these days. The tracking is so ubiquitous and so powerful. What can you do? Often the best thing you can do is just feed it garbage. And if you can feed it so much garbage that it chokes on it, all the better, which is what is intended here.
This script sends junk data to Ohio's website for snitching on workers. So in America, we have an interesting situation which is arising, which is if your job is shut down, you can file for unemployment. But if your company is going to return to work, you're supposed to go return to work. But the employment benefits were rolled out so hastily that in some scenarios, your employment benefit may be high enough that some people just don't want to return to work. Other people that have like chronic conditions may say, I don't want to return to work because I might get sick. So this is not an ideal situation. I would otherwise be willing to work, but I'm not going to return to work.
And childcare.
Yeah. It's like, I can't return to work because the childcare places are shut down. So,
but that's not a valid excuse.
Yeah. You can't draw unemployment if your thing reopens and you don't have childcare. So it's a little bit of a catch-22. So some hacker that's upset with this situation has created this script to try to prevent, unemployment benefits from being taken away from people who are reported by their employer to this.
It's command line, so you don't have to even keep a browser open. Just run it in the background. It will continually stuff that box as long as possible. Unfortunately, the unemployment service in Ohio went from some garbage CAPTCHA to Google CAPTCHA, and now this doesn't work, but he says he's working hard to try to get around that.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't do this kind of thing. Like, this
I mean, your IP address will be visible.
Yeah, this is probably not the way to fight the system, but hey, you do you.
Catharsis. And
you can't arrest us all for using it.
Can you imagine being that poor government programmer who has to try to filter that data?
It's just like, oh no, it's a storm of craziness.
And they're not going to understand when you come to them and you say, 80% of this is false. And they're like, well, just don't give us the false ones.
I'll just work on an NP-complete solution to that problem.
Yeah. All right, Crystal, let's see what you got. Give us a silent goodbye, I guess. Not only did we not hear that, but you skipped a frame. Oh. Somehow your camera betrayed you.
Bye.
Oh, you almost got
that one. The neighbor's walking their husky.
All right, we'll see you Friday for nonsense and whatever we haven't done yet.
Nonsense and more Linode ads.
Robot.
Check out those Linode links.
Social media and robot. That's what it'll be.